You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast. Hello, baseball fans. Welcome into another episode of the British Baseball Podcast. It's Women in Baseball Week, the annual worldwide event recognising the value, diversity and cultural significance of women in baseball. Why not head over to social media using the hashtag Women in Baseball Week to acknowledge those women that have made such a great change to your sport in baseball and your team. And let's not forget those women that support us, the players and also the podcasters, in making the sacrifices so that we can do what we love doing too. And for those ladies that are interested, if you head over to WBUK's website, you'll find that there's a virtual baseball card series being made, and you can see there how you can apply to be part of that. So without any further ramblings from myself, let's get over to the episode. This week I'm joined by Cammy Kidder and Laura Hurai, and this has all been arranged by the Great Britain GM of the Women's National Team, Doris Hocking. So thank you, Doris. And we had a great conversation, so it had to unfortunately hit the editing room floor due to bad audio, but I hope you enjoy the rest of it, and we'll see you on the other side. You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast. And joining me on today's edition of the British Baseball Podcast, I'm delighted to be joined once again by the Great Britain General Manager, Doris Hocking. And she's brought along with her two very special guests, filmmaker and WBUK Ambassador, Cammy Kidder. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Lovely stuff. And alongside Cammy is the first and only female to be selected by the GB programme and first female ball girl at the London series, Laura Hurai. Laura, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well. Cheers. Thank you very much. And thanks again for joining us on this Women in Baseball Week edition. So let's get to it. So I'd like to know, first of all, what does the game of baseball mean to you? And we'll start with Laura, if you want.
Sure. I mean, it's very cliche, but baseball does mean everything to me. It was my entire childhood, starting from when I was 11, playing for the London Mets until 2016, and from then many coaches believing in me and my own hard work and determination allowed me to travel the world, meet amazing people, and also end up being able to play college softball in the US, and that has been a dream, and that was all thanks to baseball. So I give all my appreciation to the sport.
Lovely. And what position do you play?
I play middle infield, so shortstop and second base.
Nice. Cammy, how about yourself?
That's a tricky question for me, because I think baseball is the great unrequited love of my life. I'm so enamored and yet frustrated and angered by baseball sometimes. It started with childhood. For me, going to games with my dad, going to Fenway Park, and there's just kind of nothing quite like that moment when you come up the steps and then you see the green monster, and it just transports you. And probably been 70 times, 75 times. And then the more aware I became, the more I realized that they're not interested in me. They're not interested in me as a player, a coach, an umpire, or really even a fan. And so it's very hard for me to still be like, oh my God, I love baseball, because I'm really mad at baseball. It's almost like a bad boy.
And Doris, what about yourself?
I think it's a way of life for me, to be honest. I grew up playing with my brother in a local football field. And I discovered it again later on in life. And I truly believe that it saved my life, because I had a really dark period due to a bad illness, and it literally gave me a reason to get up in the morning again and go for something. And so I feel like I owe it so much, and my way of giving back is to the players, really. So, yeah, definitely.
Lovely. Thank you. And I suppose that you are my first official co-host on the Bridges Baseball podcast, so I'm going to leave some of the floor open to yourself as well to ask questions. Is there anything you'd like to ask Cammy and Laura?
Cammy, tell us about your movie that you're making. You know, I know you've worked really hard over the years, and we've got some great supporters in the UK for it, and we're itching to see it. So, tell us more.
Okay. Well, it's been a giant journey, which has been good. It started, I would say, actually around 2005. So the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004. And that was the first time in 86 years. And it was like the biggest thing that I felt, you know, that changed my life, you know, that suddenly it just seemed to me that it meant that my dreams were possible. Because before, we'd always lost, we were always disappointed, and that was just kind of a metaphor I felt for life. Like, you just weren't ever going to get what you really wanted, and then suddenly you could. And so I was like, I want to play baseball. And my dad and I went to Red Sox fantasy camp in 2005, all excited that I was finally going to get this opportunity, and I was going to have the uniform, we were going to be on the field, and everything was going to be glorious. And they didn't want me there. It became a really awkward time where all the other guys that were at the camp, I think, were feeling the same thing I was feeling, but they couldn't relate to me in the fact that I was feeling it. And so it took a really long time for me to process those feelings, and that we were gonna make a film about it. So we brought two camera crews and to follow me and my dad around, and it was supposed to be this really fun film about a father and a daughter like living out their fantasy, but instead I got 40 hours of misogyny and disappointment. And I said, I don't want to make that film because I love baseball and I don't understand why this experience was so different for me than it was for the other 100 people that were there. So I just decided that I needed to figure this out. So for 10 years, I've been following people and talking to people and meeting people and trying to find the answer to this question as to why women aren't supposed to want to play this game. And I think the reason I shot so long is because no one had an answer. No one could ever definitively say to me, oh, this is the reason. And then I could have gone, okay, well, I can either accept that or not accept that. But there is no reason that, you know, I've literally talked to, I would say, 200 people that would be considered, you know, not necessarily experts, but some of them experts, some of them historians. And yeah, there's some ideas, but there's not a definitive answer. So then I thought, okay, so there's no reason. So now I've kind of transitioned into being an advocate for gender equality in sport, because I believe it is something that's overlooked, and we need to fix it. It's been going on a really long time.
Cammy, can I ask, why do you think there was so much negativity around you being there?
I kind of felt that I was an intruder in the clubhouse, and, you know, these guys had spent all this money, because it's expensive, it's like $4,000 to go, that they had like saved, maybe this was a once in a lifetime thing for them, and they wanted to go back to being like a 12-year-old boy and living out their dream, and me being there was a distraction or a disruption. It just didn't gel with what they thought they were gonna have. And for the most part, nobody, there was one guy, and he knows who he is, was tremendously hostile to me. You know, but then I think there was just a lot of this unconscious bias, you know, that people didn't realize they were treating me differently. They didn't realize that they weren't including me. It wasn't like they were trying to be jerks. It just was a real disconnect, I think, that happened there. But there were a few that were, I mean, one guy, we're doing outfield, fielding practice, and one guy literally drilled me into the fence. you know, using the excuse that, oh, he was going for the ball. I'm like, yeah, but it wasn't your turn. So you shouldn't have been doing that. And you hurt me. I mean, you ran me into a fence, you know, and things like that happened that were awful. But it was more of just that persistent, you don't belong, you don't belong, you must not know what you're doing. Oh, let me teach you how to put your glove on. Let me teach you. I know how to hold a glove. I mean, but I think they just assumed that I wouldn't know anything. And that was just, even the guys that were teasing and being funny, trying to be funny, the problem is exhausting to be teased and joked and made the, you know, the, they have a kangaroo court where they, you know, fine you for things. And it's supposed to be in good hearted fun, but I was fined like 5 times a day. And I was the only one that was, you know, there were guys nobody paid attention to. Like if I wore the wrong hat or I was braiding my hair in a meeting or I was putting on sunscreen, it just was relentless. And like I said, I don't think it was deliberate. I just think they didn't know how to behave with a woman being on the baseball field with them because they've never had that either.
Strange. That Laura, did you ever experience anything like that when you were playing in London?
Firstly, I'm sorry to hear about your experiences, Cammy. When I hear that, it just seems so horrible to, you know, be in the position that we are, that we're so fortunate to love this sport, yet it's a shame that sometimes the sport, people who belong, who are part of the sport, just don't love us as women. I wouldn't say experience the exact same thing, but I did feel like an intruder at some point when I was first selected for the national team. I don't think I realized how big of an opportunity it was, and I definitely don't think I took it enough for granted when I was only 15 at that point. I think after I was selected, there were definitely plenty of parents and teammates even wondering why and how a girl would have been chosen over a guy, when clearly even at that age there could be differences in puberty. Men are just naturally stronger at that age when you're 14, 15. So it's an experience, but you know, for women, we have to go through that experience and persevere through it and overcome it to become stronger people and to be who we are now. So
yeah, Doris, any experiences you'd like to share?
I could write a book. I've been in a few teams, all completely different experiences. One team, I started off really well in the first half. Sadly, the coach left to start a new team. And from that moment, it just went downhill. I was benched for every game. That was my position on the team. That's what it felt like. I never once complained throughout the whole season. I just stuck by it, bit my tongue. I'd be lucky if I got half an inning. It got to the point where half of the guys realised, like, there's something not right here, you know, this isn't fair. I'm travelling 2 hours for a game and I'm not even playing. And it got to the point where we're in the ninth inning and players were shouting, coach, why isn't Doris on the field? You know, get Doris on. And he just turned around and said, why? Do you want to come off? And I just felt like that big. And I just knew from that moment, I'm not part of this team anymore. And it sucked. It really sucked. And I know I'm not the only girl in this country that is going through that. And that's what I'm really trying to change. Just raise awareness and put a stop to this, really, because it's not fair.
No.
And I certainly don't want to get accused of playing the woman card for those situations, because I was. Like Laura said, it makes you stronger. And look what's happened now, you know, I've achieved so much, getting away from that negativity. You just got to push forward.
Did anybody actually volunteer to come off so that you could play, or were you surprised by any reactions?
In the last 5 minutes, someone did come off, and it would have been my turned to bat next, but that coach barged past me to take the plate because he wanted to be the hero, because basically it would have nobody got a hit that game, so it was going to be a perfect game, and he just wanted to be the hero. But I never even got a taste of that one of those amazing pitches by Eli in Exeter, and it still hurts now to this day. But you know, the team now is moved forward. There's been some changes since then. There were complaints, not from me, but I certainly said what I thought, and probably said a bit too much. But that was anger. That's what baseball does. It's passion. So, I'm working really hard so that doesn't happen to another female player in this country and across the world.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say then that your experiences, the negativity, sort of spurred you on to become stronger, or were there times when you had your doubts? If so, how did you overcome it, Cammie?
Well, I think the biggest difference between Doris and Laura is I'm not a very good baseball player. So I could understand in a way that, you know, wanted their strongest nine out there, but at the same time, this is fantasy. It's not real. It's not a league. There's no championship. You know, I think there were guys that went down there that actually thought that they'd been missed somehow, and the Red Sox scouts were going to see them, and if they could only show, you know, that. And I'm like, you dudes are like foiled insurance salesmen. I mean, no one is being scouted here at fantasy camp. But that's how some people behaved. And I think that's just, you know, part of being a competitive person, part of having passion for the game. But it's a difficult thing, because I look back at that footage of me not playing baseball for the most part. At fantasy camp, everyone bats. So that's kind of their out. So, you know, if there's 10, 11, 12 people on team, everyone bats in the game, but you may not get any on-field time. And I actually bat pretty well. I mean, I've got footage of me like getting RBIs and like all this kind of stuff. So I didn't completely suck. There was no reason for them to be like, oh, we don't want her out there at all because she's going to help us lose the game. But even if I did, it's fantasy camp, right? But I look at that footage and I don't see myself see me sort of being changed by their reaction to me. It's a very strange experience because I'm giggling a lot and I'm smiling and I'm like, and I look like I'm having a great time. So for their point of view, they might have thought I was having a great time. And it took me quite a few times to be like, I think that was a defense mechanism. I think that was me just trying to get along and trying to fit in when I know I didn't fit in. And we as women were kind of all socialized to be, you know, gentle and smile more and don't speak up and don't get angry. And so I think that came out. Now I'm more mad at myself that I didn't say, hey, like, I didn't pay girl money to come down here. I paid regularly, just like everybody else. Why am I not getting experience? But then, like Doris is saying, so is that the woman card? I'm like, no, that's just me saying, look, if everyone here on this team is getting to play 30 innings, why am I playing two? Because it's not like there's anybody else that's only getting two, you know, unless they want it, unless they're like super old or whatever. So there's that balance that we need to find, like, how can we raise our voices and be clear and declarative and advocate for our own opportunities without being whiny, without being, you know, any of the other words that people put on women that are gender specific. Or we just, like you said, just kind of up and shut up, then nothing ever changes. And everybody's like, you know, she knows her place, or there's nothing really wrong here. You know, they handed me the scorebook. Like, I'm keeping score at fantasy camp. That was not my fantasy. You know, just sit on the bench and keep score. So, but I think they thought, oh, we'll give her something to do. But, you know, just wanted to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to touch up on Doris and Cammie's points, I think, for us as women, we have to find other ways to be smarter and be better we can't, you know, we can't be as strong as them. It's just naturally impossible to be as strong as them. Obviously it could be, but realistically it is much more difficult to achieve that standard of play. However, we can be smarter, we can learn the game better, we can work on other things that maybe men don't even see. I remember when I was I must clarify that I'm a pitcher in baseball, but I'm a middle infielder in softball. But when I was pitching in baseball, I didn't throw a heat. I did not throw 90 miles an hour. I did not throw fast compared to all the other boys. However, I did have a lot of technique and skill. I had a change-up and a curveball that fooled many players, not just because of my height as well, being 5 foot one. But you have to find ways. You have to find ways to outsmart the men. And I think in the situation that we're in right now, like, that's what we have to do. We have to find other ways to reach the top.
Yeah. Awesome. Cammy, if we're going to go back to the movie briefly, what was it that made you want to make a film to start with?
I think it's really my dad. You know, my dad has had an undiagnosed learning disability. So he actually didn't learn to read until he was almost 60. And because of that, I think he had a very strained relationship with the rest of our family kind of growing up, but we had this connection through baseball. So we could watch a game together, even if he was frustrated, even if he was angry, even if we as kids didn't know why, you know, he was upset about a certain thing. And when he wanted to do this fantasy camp, I could just sort of see the spark in him of him going back to his childhood, pursuing the dream that he didn't get to have. And I wanted to be part of that. And I just thought, oh, this would be just a fun, you know, film. I'd made a couple documentaries before. But then when that didn't happen, you know, like I said, that would have been a really angry film that two people would have watched, and that wasn't cool. This idea just started to germinate, the why, and then I just, you know, then I found out about the All-Americans, that the ladies that played back in World War II, or some of them were still alive, and they get together and have reunions, and I started going and spending time with them, and I'm like, these women are amazing, and they changed our world by playing baseball, which is something that we can't do still, to play professional baseball. And they're just so sort of surreal about it, because in 1943, when the league started, you couldn't own property in your own name. You basically gave up your name when you married. You became Mrs. Frank Thomas. You didn't even stay Susan Thomas. There were just so many things that weren't good women then, but yet they had this professional baseball league. And I thought, well, there's something here, because if women could play four, and that was okay in a time that wasn't permissive, then why can't we play now when we supposedly have equal rights and we have the vote and everything? And then I found out we have a women's national baseball team, and then nobody knows anything about it. And then there's a women's baseball World Cup, and oh, I have to go to that. And then there's these girls and these programs that are starting, like Baseball for All. And so I just kept, you know, just following, looking for something that would be hopeful and aspirational, that young girls could look at and say, because, you know, that if she can see it, she can be it, right? If I can see women doing what I want to do, whether it's umpiring or coaching or being a doctor or being on the Supreme Court, whatever your thing is, if you can see that other women are doing that, then it's okay to believe that you can also do that. So that's kind of the direction of the film now. It sort of starts out with, like, hey, there's this problem here that maybe we should look at, you know, unconscious bias or even outright sexism. And here's some reasons why it shouldn't be happening because of all this history. And, oh, look, here's some people doing something about it. And isn't this cool? And look, these women can really play. So there, I think there's just kind of a expectation that women can't hang, right? Because we're supposedly smaller. Not, I mean, I'm almost 6 feet tall, so it's like you can't use that one on me. But, but you know, men are generally stronger and faster and those kind of things. But again, baseball isn't like football where you need absolutely broad strength. And even in football, there's some smaller guys. So there should be room for everybody on the field. And if men don't want us to play with them, then they need to support us having our own teams. Because like it or not, men have the majority of the power still, they have the majority of the money. And we wouldn't have a WNBA if the NBA hadn't said, okay, let's subsidize this. Let's get this going. Let's get them off the ground. And then they can stand on their own. If it's going to work, it's going to work. And now the WNBA has been going for like 22 years. But that wouldn't have happened if the NBA, which we can safely assume was mostly men, said, hey, let's do this. And I'm sure it's not purely altruistic. They're like, our stadiums or arenas are empty half the year. If we put the women's game in there, at least there's games and there's concessions and people are buying jerseys. But it also was the right thing to do. For some reason, baseball does not seem to be interested in doing the right thing. They seem to be actively working against it and resisting it.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that. I've been reading a book, Baseball Life Advice, by Stacey May Fowles. It was recommended on another podcast I listened to. And she talks quite a lot in there about how baseball just doesn't seem to get women. Like, even ushers approach her in the stands and try to explain the rules to her. And she's like, I know, because she sits there on her own sometimes and watches the games by herself. And some of the stories that she tells about the attitudes towards her is shocking. I mean, like, even like wearing pink day or something that they have in the MLB, and just like women's specific days, and everything seems to be glittery and sparkling. It's just like, I don't, and when I read these stories and I hear stories like what you're going through yourselves, it just, it baffles me that people that love this sport and that only want the best for it.
I think as well, like, if we share our experiences and raise that awareness, it will, there's a lot of ignorance as well in sports, and it's not intentionally as well either. They just might not think, oh, okay, that might be viewed different to that player on that player, you know. Banter as well, I love banter. I don't want to take that away from the guys, you know. But like, for some players, they might not like banter, you know. It could be awkward, and for the guys, they might feel like, oh, I can't say that in front of her, you know. And it makes it can be an awkward situation when it doesn't need to be. But it's things like, I remember going to one club I visited last year, and the guys were just adjusting their cups in front of the women, like right in front of me, and I just thought, dude, turn around and sort it out, you know, not in my face. It's just little things like that, just, you know, think twice. But
yeah,
I must say, in the UK, we've grown so much. I mean, we've got a fantastic community. Just because I've had that bad experience with one club doesn't mean the rest of the clubs are there, because I can assure you now, we've got some fantastic clubs like Cambridge, Sheffield, London Mets, all inclusive. They're role models themselves, and I just, they need to be praised. And it says a lot when leagues are adjusting their schedule for the Women's Baseball UK Championship, so everyone can take part. The guys can come down and support women's baseball, and I'm really grateful of that. And it goes to show the great support we have in the UK for women's baseball and female players.
Yeah. Doris, you got any questions you'd like to ask to Laura?
Yes, I'm intrigued, because obviously you're in the States, well, not right now, but you play softball in the States. Would you rather play baseball out there, or would you stick with softball? I'm curious, really.
It's very tempting when, at my college, Swarthmore College, one of the baseball athletes was an old London Mets player, and we were both teammates. And his father was actually my baseball coach at the London Mets, and he was the one who believed in me the most and essentially brought me to the US to play softball. And just watching him play is For me, it's satisfying enough. I know, I think there's still, in the US, I think there's still a bit to go in terms of giving women the opportunity to play at a Division III, Division II, Division I, any level. It takes a lot of drive for the women, and even I think it takes a lot of patience for the coach, the male coaches as well. But obviously, I do think about playing, and sometimes I do have the opportunity to watch them, spend time with them, with the players. But in terms of actually participating in the sport, I haven't. But it's very tempting.
Is there like any local communities that have like female teams like we do over here?
Not that I've heard of, but I know that where I go to the college, it's in Pennsylvania. And when I first met Cammy, it was actually in Reading, Pennsylvania, I think nearly 5 years ago. And it was at, it feels like ages ago, but also feels like yesterday at the same time. Watching just a group of women play together at the event for the International Women's Baseball Center. So I know there's definitely women out there in Pennsylvania and in the whole greater community who are wanting to play baseball and who are curious about the sport, but I'm not sure about anyone in my school's local area.
Cool, thank you. Yeah, International Women's Baseball Centers, the ones behind Women in Baseball Week, Ryan Woodward, I believe, created it. Cammy, can you tell me more about International Women's Baseball Center?
Yeah, the International Women's Baseball Center has been going maybe 7 years now. And it was started by Kat Williams, who is a history professor at Marshall and an author. And she is a big proponent and collector of stories. There you go, her newest book from the league, the All-American League. Because it did have such an influence on so many of us, but also seeing that if we can connect the past, you know, to the present, then maybe the future gets a lot easier. It's this this historian, Deborah Shattuck, and she wrote a definitive book on women's baseball and the Bloomer Girls, which is a book that's about this thick, and it's brilliant. She said, I think the problem is that there's no historical memory that women have always been part of this game. And it's funny because if you look at even a modern team, and if a girl grew up playing on the same little league team, the boys are not the ones with the issue. Her teammates are not the ones with the issue. Sometimes it's the opposing team, but that's led by a coach. So it's an adult saying that this is wrong to these kids to be playing. Or it's an umpire. There's some horrific stories of things that umpires have done to girls that are trying to play. Or it's, sadly, the biggest thing that drives me insane is that it's the women, it's the mothers of the boys, are the ones telling their sons that girls should not be playing. And so we're doing it to ourselves, and we have to figure that piece out. So the International Women's Baseball Center was like, well, let's see if we can create a museum, if we can create an umpire school, if we can create a place where it's okay to not be great, you know, to be learning. It's because what's really happening is the girls that are finding opportunities, which is great that they are, but they are like, you've got to be the number one, number two player on the team. Nobody's interested in giving an opportunity to, you know, somebody who's really not very good. And how do you get better if you don't have opportunities to play? So the International Women's Baseball Center has a piece of land in Rockford, Illinois, which was the home of the Rockford Peaches. And they're in a fundraising cycle to try to get money to build this actual center. But Ryan, in the meanwhile, said, Ryan is also, he's a librarian by trade. And he's like, well, let's do as much as we can to bring awareness to the fact that women play this game, have always played this game, are part of this game. And he created this, I think it was his husband actually that created this lovely logo, Brian. and they created a website, and they contact libraries all around the world. And so if you go into a library on Women in Baseball Week, hopefully there'll be, well, I don't know if anybody would go into a library right now because pandemic, but the last couple years, you go in there and it greets you with a display of, you know, here are books by women about baseball. They're about women baseball players, women umpires, and just, again, just trying to underscore that it's not weird that we're doing this. This is totally normal. Women have always played, but for some reason, society wants to forget that we play this particular game. So that's what Women in Baseball Week is all about. And the International Women's Baseball Center is really trying to be that hub. You know, sort of, there's this group over here doing this and this group over here doing this. And it would be easier if we were all kind of speaking the same language and coming together and raising our collective voices and saying, okay, enough of telling girls that they don't belong, enough of girls having to sue Little League in 1974. And, oh, look, Little League starts softball the very next year. Like, there's some deliberate conspiratorial things that are keeping girls from growing up in this game. And we need a lot of different voices in a lot of different communities to stop that from happening.
What sort of radical things do you think must change in order for women's sport to be taken as seriously as men's sports? I mean, like, with attitudes, like, it's 2020 and it just seems like there's just barriers everywhere. What can the male athletes do in the sport to help the women in baseball? Not just women in baseball, but male athletes in any sport help the women in their sport. How can we help them?
I think in particular, the men in football are a lot more supportive of the women. We've seen that here in the United States where the women's team is trying to get equal pay. And the male players are like, yeah, they should totally have equal pay. Like, they're like, oh no, we need to keep all this for us. We don't want you. They were like, no, you do the same job that we do. You should make the same money. It's what's really fascinating to me is that women are half the population, right? So we can have anything we want, but we don't do it. So why don't we do it? You know, because in order for women's sports to be viable, people have to watch women's sports, because unfortunately it all comes down to money. And there's so much competition for the entertainment dollar but like you said, there's darts on Sports Channel. We have cornhole on our sports channels. They're men throwing beanbags at boards in parking lots is more important than any women's sport. And it's insane. It's like, that's a game. That's fine if you want to play this game, but it's like the national cornhole championships because they got a sponsor, because they got several sponsors that said, okay, I'll put some money into this. And now they've got $100,000 budget, and now they can afford to have a camera crew come out. And that's, unfortunately, to get it to that level, we need money. But there are plenty of women in the world that have plenty of money. So why are they not engaged? I think that's kind of the missing thing. I don't think women should be sitting around going, well, men should be doing this for us, because we don't need them to do things for us. We need partners and we need less obstacles, but we also need women to you know, just step up, really, because, you know, like, I don't know, Oprah. If Oprah were to say, you know what, I care about women's sports and I'm gonna put $3 million into a fund so we can get a women's baseball league started, then it would start, you know? And I just don't know who that woman is or that group of women and why they're not caring. Like, we have to let them care. But I think a lot of it is because in order to get where they got, they had to play the game, right? They had to giggle and they had to smile and they had to wear dresses. And, you know, why is it when you watch a sports channel, the women are all in cocktail dresses? And the men are in suits or like polo shirts or something, but the women still have to be pretty. The women have to be on display. They have to bring something more to it than just their knowledge of sports in order to be on there. So there's still all those outdated sexist notions that, you know, these might be kids' games, but it's men's business. Nobody looks at women as needing to make a living, you know, because women go off. If you're a professional soccer player and you want to have a baby, well, do you have to miss the World Cup? How long do you have to be off? Even though there are women having babies and winning gold medals 7 months later, and even though there are all these examples that women can do both of these things, especially if they have a supportive partner, there's still all these kind of, it's really hard to get people to forget ingrained notions. But that's my big thing, is that, you know, women need to help other women and support other women instead of, you know, it's just too common to tear ourselves down, even when it's, like I said, the mothers of the boys that are doing this to young girls. I'm like, don't you have daughters? Don't you have a 10-year-old daughter? Why do you want her to think that her dreams are not as important as her brother's? And yet women do it to their kids every day. And I'm sure my mom did it to me. I'm sure her mom did it to her. It's so ingrained in us to expect less, and that it's an indulgence or it's some kind of unnecessary thing for us to have, you know, careers in sport or something, like, because that's, you know, men, I got that taken care of. We don't really need women to do that too. That's the thing I think really needs to change. And as much as it's, like I said, it's great to have, you know, partners, you know, especially male athletes, people with voices that people listen to, like if LeBron James, you know, he could support women's, maybe he's got daughters. Like, there's got to be Major League Baseball players that have daughters. I think Pete Betts has daughters. Like, he has millions of dollars. Like, why doesn't he care about this? Why doesn't he talk about it? And just because he's not aware it's an issue. But if you've got daughters, how do you not know it's an issue?
Yeah, good point.
Sorry, I'm ranting.
No, it's fine. Laura, have you got anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think I'm not answering Cammy's rant or anything, but I think the reason why even fathers of daughters don't seem to look at women's baseball is because they see so many other opportunities for women that's not baseball. There's so many other sports that women can play, and they probably direct the children or their daughters towards those sports. I'm certainly lucky that our parents were very open to anything that I did and believed in me, whatever I did with any sport, whether it was football, baseball, softball, golf, whatever. But I think it's just ingrained in our society and our lifestyles that women's baseball is just not a sport yet. And that has to come from, that start from the very beginning, that it is a sport for everyone.
Yeah. Doris?
Yeah, and I agree with what Cammy said about how women should do more, you know, and step up. I think after I left my first team, I looked for opportunities for women's baseball, as I've always followed it, watched the World Cup. And I truly believe that I'd probably still be waiting now if I didn't decide to set up Women's Baseball UK. I had to travel to France to get some experience and gaming opportunities, and I want to use that to bring that over here and create opportunities in the UK. But I think we all need to do our little bit in general for baseball in the UK, not just for women's baseball. I think there are quite a lot of negativity, and I just think, you know, play your part. We all love the sport. If you can just help out at your local schools or something, obviously get checked and stuff, you know, raise awareness, promote the sport the best you can, volunteer, you know, little things, it will go a long way.
Yeah, indeed. Laura, if we come back to you for a little bit, there's some interesting stories I'd like to sort of ask you if I could. Now, what are your memories around being selected for the GB program, and how are you using these opportunities to lead the way for other women in the sport?
Sure. I still remember the first time I got selected for the national team. I obviously was not expecting it. Being the only girl trying out and with a bunch of many other talented boys out there. There's so many of them. But it just takes one person to believe in you. And for me, I was lucky that it was the head coach, Rob Rance, at the time, who believed in me and gave me the chance to make history and make sure I did my part to contribute to women's sport, women in baseball. I mean, ever since then, I haven't done much. I've just been playing the sport and I've just been loving it and continuing to believe in it. But it's just bumping into Cammy and with the International Women's Baseball Center, speaking to Doris and developing or helping her to continue to build the program with women in baseball in the UK. And just being lucky to bump into people who believe in me and believe in the process that women can play in baseball. And ever since that time that I first got selected, I think people, especially I think men in the UK, have started to appreciate that women can play baseball. I'm not saying that I'm the best player out there. I'm just saying that if people believe in you, then they will believe in you. And hopefully they'll, you know, spur you on yourself and keep trying your best to achieve the highest level that you can. And for me, I was lucky enough to have the right support network and the best teammates who didn't see me as a woman, they just saw me as a person, just saw me as another baseball player. And I think that's why I got to be so successful at the time.
Yeah. What advice would you give to young girls that are either looking to play the game or that are already involved in the game?
I just say keep going at it. There's going to be plenty of curveballs coming at you, and they're probably not going to be nice ones. But if you keep going at it, you know, they always say baseball is a game of margins, and you know your averages tend to be lower, and that's how you still succeed. You still find a way to succeed in the most difficult situations. And I think if you just keep getting at it, being mentally strong, mentally tough, and keep pursuing your own dreams and not letting anyone get in the way of that, I think that's the best way to get at it.
Yeah. And can I ask you, how did you become a ball girl in the MLB London series?
I think I just got really lucky. I was first part of the clubhouse for the Yankees, just doing what everyone else was doing. In terms of looking after the players and setting up all the equipment and clothing and uniforms and equipment, all that kind of stuff inside of the dugouts in the clubhouse. And then my manager, Chico, he came to me on game day asking if I'd like to play catch with Brett Gardner in the outfield and be a ball girl for the Yankees. I was honestly not expecting it. I mean, there's other people in the clubhouse, you know, working just as hard, and I didn't see why I had to be the one to be on the field, but I just got lucky that I was the 10th player on the field getting to throw a uniform on for the Yankees.
Were you a Yankees fan before that?
I was, yes, because of Ichiro Suzuki, but now I think I'm fully committed to the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be a bit upset if you're a Boston.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a Red Sox fan. And
But you two get on so well.
Yes, we do. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm right, too, that the Yankees do not use ball girls, even at their games here. I think she was the first one ever. Like, the Red Sox have ball girls and bat boys and the Dodgers, but I don't think the Yankees mm-hmm. do. I think they use all actual boys. So it's even more significant.
Yeah. Well, you don't even like a so. Yeah, maybe it's like a traditional thing. I don't know. I'm not part of the organization, just speculation. Which females in a game do you look up to? Doris, I'll start off with you in that one.
Say that again, sorry.
Which females in the game do you look up to?
Do I look up to? Well, I've got quite an interesting team. They're all French, a couple of Dutch girls sometimes, and they're all individually, really. They're all unique. I think if you're going to talk about game, it's got to be the catcher. I think they're like the quarterback for baseball. But there's too many to say. I think the Dutch girls that I play with play on the national team, and so I look up to them especially because they're always teaching the girls what to do and stuff. But you find yourself continuing like learning from each player, you know, what to do and stuff. And yeah, it's a great community, definitely.
Okay. Laura?
Oh, I had the privilege of meeting some of the old players who played in the All-American Girls Professional League. So I definitely look up to them. And also, I just giving shout outs to Rachel Berkovich of the Yankees, being a hitting coach. Renee Davis, who got to use her voice and her platform playing for the Little League World Series. Alyssa Nacken from the Giants, working as an assistant manager in that program, and Justine Siegel for being one of the first coaches in the professional major league field.
Great shout outs. Yeah, very good. Cammy?
I didn't think that was a hard question until I started thinking about it. I think I learn something from every single person that I talk to. It's kind of my interviewing style. I just keep talking to them and asking them questions until they say something that makes my spidey senses tingle. And, you know, like Perry Barber, an umpire. She's been an umpire for 40 years. She's umpired all over the world. The greatest thing about Perry is not so much that she's one of the first umpires ever to have a long career as a woman, but the fact that she's constantly reaching back. She's constantly saying, if you want an opportunity as an umpire, I will help you. Let me help you. I mean, I can talk to people at umpire school. I can talk to, you know, these tournaments. When there's a women's baseball tournament, she makes sure that they're all female umpires, because why wouldn't you? But it's easier to just hire the umpires that you normally hire, and not saying that we want to, you know, take opportunities away from men, because none of these guys are, nobody's making a lot of money as an umpire on these levels. But doesn't it make sense, you know, that women should be coaching the women's game and men should be coaching, you know, if you're not letting women coach men, then you need to make all the opportunities for women coaching to coach women, like, or have it however you want to have it, but there needs to be opportunities. And Perry has been just tireless in her reaching back and bringing younger umpires up. And we need more of that mentoring kind of personality. And I think that the women who played in the league, like Laura mentioned, they did it without realizing they were doing it, just because they were just inherent trailblazers that are so humble and so kind. I gave the keynote a couple years ago at their reunion. And I said, you don't even know that just by the fact that you were a professional athlete and then paid for yourself to go to college because you made money that you couldn't have had before, and then ended up with a PhD and you've coached for 35 years on the college level, you've changed my life. You've made my life better. Because people look at you and say, oh, I guess women are capable of more than what I thought they were. And female athletes and male athletes have learned from women that can go, oh, well, that's pretty cool that I'm, you know, there's that light dawning moment. Because, you know, no group is a monolith, right? It's not like men all think this way or women all think this way, which is why you have the pink sparkly baseball caps. Some women love them, some women do not, but there should be both choices or multiple choices. And I think that those are the women that really inspire me, are the ones that say, you know, who can I help? You know, who can I encourage? And if it's a young girl, I mean, I'm totally blown away by some of these, you know, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds that I've interviewed that are just so poised and just so focused. And I just think, God, the world is going to be so much better because they played baseball, which sounds so trite and silly, but at the same time, when you're fighting these tremendous battles, you know, it does make you smarter. It does make you more clever. It does make you more nimble. It shouldn't have to be that way. But until we level that part out, they're coming up. And, you know, I followed this one team of girls. They were the first all-girls travel team that I'm aware of, the Dream Team, back in 2011. So now they're in college, which is crazy, and they're having babies, and like things are happening. And I'm like, I have this footage of you, and you're tiny. But all of them are tremendously productive members of society. They play the violin, they're valedictorians, they're going to Dartmouth, they're hockey goalies. And I think it's because women's sports, especially at a young age, fill you with confidence and your self-esteem and just the knowledge that, like Laura said, you find a champion, you find someone who believes in you, and there's tremendous power in that. So those are the people I look up to, men and women, that say, I'm going to help rather than hinder.
Yeah, lovely.
I'd just like to say, I find that the younger generation inspire me. Like, you've got Beth Greenwood in the States. She's just absolutely incredible. And I know that she's going to go far. I'm really looking forward to watching her grow and just achieved so much, because she's going to change. She's going to break seasons, definitely. Yeah, she's awesome. And it's the younger generation that inspire us as well. So,
need to check to see if she's got a British passport, Doris.
Sorry?
Need to check to see if she's got a British passport.
I'll have her over in a shop, believe me.
Doris, have you got any questions as we reach towards the end of the show? Is there anything you'd like to ask?
Yeah, just a quick one for Laura. What does it mean to you to represent Great Britain as a player?
Well, I could go on and on about how lucky and privileged I am to even wear the jersey and have Great Britain along my chest. Because I know that you don't get that chance all the time, and not everyone gets to achieve it. And I was just so lucky to be one of those people. And every time I put that shirt on, I made sure I wore it with pride. And
you deserved it, mate. You deserved it. It wasn't
thank
lucky.
You
worked for that.
Thank you so much.
Well said. Any more questions, Doris?
Yeah, Cammy. When do you think the movie will be out? I'm eager. I know. Sorry, I'm pushing you.
No, please. I need pushing. Actually, right now my editor is working on a second draft. We got a little derailed, you know, it's a money thing, you know, it's hard to work in a vacuum, and it's also hard to constantly be raising money for something that people are like, I don't think that movie's ever going to get finished. Like my 11-year-old girls who are now graduating from college, they're like, yeah, nice try, but now I'm going to have like 4 movies because I have so much footage. But I do think that we might be finished by September. So right now we're kind of going back and forth. The hardest part with a film like this is, what's the best way to tell this story? What's the most effective way? And it took me a long time to reconcile the fact that using my own story is the best way to do that, because then I can kind of Michael Moore my way through the film, and that makes sense that we're in Venezuela now, and now we're in Hong Kong, and now we're in Canada, and now we're in Detroit, because otherwise it's just like, it's like a salad, like what's happening in this movie? Like, so it took me a long time to be okay with that. And now I feel like I've really found my feet so much more than when I started, that I can say things that women that are still coming up in the game, or women that are still looking for employment in the game, probably don't feel comfortable saying, you know, calling out Major League Baseball and calling out, you know, things that need to be said. I'm totally comfortable saying, and now it makes sense because it's sort of it's not my story, but I'm the host of this project. So once we finally settled on that, and now it's just really, which pieces tell the story? Like, how much history do we want in here? We want 20 minutes of history, can 10 minutes do? And that's the parts that we're in now. It's just going back and forth. So This year, for sure.
Awesome. I can't wait.
I feel like we could talk about this all night, but unfortunately we're coming towards the end of our time. I've got one more question to ask. Joyce, have you got anything else you'd like to ask?
I'd like just to say that for Women in Baseball Week, we're going to be celebrating throughout the week all the players across the UK and in Europe by doing the virtual cards again. This will be our third year supporting Women in Baseball Week. Unfortunately, there's no championship for this week. That's obviously been postponed. We will sort out a tournament later this year. And I'm really eager as well to involve blind baseball as well for the WBUK championships in some way. It's an event open to all players, any disability, and it's more focused on the development tournament. And I'm really keen to let everybody participate. So, yeah.
Awesome. So my final question is one that I like to sort of leave off with. It kind of leaves a nice note to go off on. Is if you have one wish for baseball, what would it be? And it was my partner that came up with that one, Jocelyn. It's one of my favourite questions to ask my guests.
That's a very good question. I guess the first thing that came to mind was the ability for everyone to watch the game. I know it's televised in the US a lot, but for us in the UK, it's hard to, get the ESPN app or even subscribe to those kind of things. But if there was a way to be able to televise the sport across, globally, it would grow the sport and raise more awareness gradually. Of hopefully women in baseball as well.
Awesome. Doris?
The same really. Grow the sport, bring back to the 1930s style women's baseball, because that seemed to be booming. That'd be cool. See more facilities improve as well across the UK. That'd be good.
Cammy?
I have two wishes, a small one and a big one. A small wish is that while there aren't any live sports, that ESPN and MLB would go and broadcast the Women's World Cup games, because they were all filmed and they're actually really well done with multiple camera angles and announcers, and they're just sitting there. And if they put them on TV, people would watch them. If people watch cornhole and darts and poker, that they would watch this if it was put in front of them, and then they'd start developing an audience. And that is just so easy to do. And the big wish is that baseball would share more. I think they need to make room. They need to share internationally. It just, especially Major League Baseball, the organization seems to be kind of usury and greedy, especially with young players, like snapping people up from the Dominican Republic when they're 13, 14 years old. It's like, if that rule's not okay for US players, then it shouldn't be okay for foreign-born players. And like Laura said, you just see accessibility, but I just think they have so much that they could share and make this, a much more. My dad says baseball is the key to world peace. That if people played baseball games instead of fighting wars, then we could solve world peace. So that's the big wish.
Nice way to put it. How do you think I can use my platform to help women in baseball?
I think it's helping raise awareness, and just promoting women's baseball is a massive step as well. And not just women's baseball, just for all teams and mixed teams. I'm not trying to take away the girls from the mixed teams. They love that, and I'm just creating an extra opportunity for them to play, really. But I think by just talking about these issues as well will go far. That's the main thing, is discussing these small problems, and it'll help the sport grow.
Thank you. I like to leave the last word open to the guest. And Laurie, anything you'd like to add? Any shout outs, any mentions, any part?
Yes, firstly, thank you so much for having me on this show. I'm very lucky to be talking to you and with Doris and Cammy, being surrounded by great people who want to spread the word about Women in Baseball, and yeah, I'm really grateful for you guys, so thank you very much. I'd also like to give a massive shout out to the Great Britain baseball coaches on the national team, particularly Will Linton, Liam Carroll, Cam Lahag, Zach Gracer, and as I mentioned before, Rob Rance, who first chose me to be part of the Great Britain national program. And I truly appreciate and I'm really grateful for them trusting in a girl who also had a dream, just like every other guy out there. So thank you.
And thank you too as well for leading the way and shining that light for the youngsters to follow. Doris?
Yeah, no, just want to thank Laura for coming on. It doesn't matter that you're younger than me, you're still a role model to me, and you're going to be a role model for many, many players to come.
Yeah, there are a lot of women in the sport at the moment. They're doing some great things, so keep on plugging away and keep shining that light. And that brings us to a close to the show. So all that's left for me now is to say thank you to the guests and ta-ra, and I'll see you soon. Doris, take it easy.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
Laura, take it easy. Ta-ra.
Thank you.
And we've lost Cammy. I don't know where she's gone, but I'm sure I had so many more questions to ask her about her movie, but never mind. Maybe that'll be for another time. So enjoy Women in Baseball Week, and I'll see you on the other side. Oh,